If you have your Bibles, turn this morning, please, to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy. It's the month of December, and the Lord being my helper, I've really, really wrestled with this, but I want to preach on Christmas this month. And the reason I wrestled with it is because I couldn't get peace about it. It was an idea that I had that I thought was a good idea. And then I kept struggling and kept wrestling. And what we're going to do is take the word Christmas and do an acrostic with it this month. The first letter in Christmas is C. Would anybody want to guess the word I'm going to use today? That's a good guess. Now tonight, the letter is H. And so be thinking about that, and we'll get some ideas tonight, amen, in the evening service on what you think the H is going to be about. I'm trying to be led of the Lord. As a matter of fact, when I was wrestling, and the Lord kept pointing me to the word for tonight. And so all of a sudden, God gave me peace, and then God gave me a message for the sea. Amen. If a man can't appreciate Christ, he's in trouble. Amen. But the Lord has laid this on my heart. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 for the reading of the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And what I'm going to do is just read one verse of Scripture in your hearing this morning. Then we'll be looking at several verses in the chapter and other verses in the Scripture as well. In verse number 15, the Apostle Paul is writing to his son Timothy, his son in the faith. He's not his physical son, but he is his spiritual son. And I believe Timothy and Paul had a very special relationship. Brother Rusty, where are you at back there? You're back there. There you are. Brother, I believe years ago, even though you weren't saved, God gave us a special relationship. Amen. Rusty told me he's riding an hour and 20 minutes each way to work. And he told me the other night when I visited with him, he said, I've listened to 5 different messages on YouTube this week. And he's catching up, amen, on the preaching of the Word of God. I want to say this. There have been times when I didn't feel like praying for Rusty. I felt like hitting him in the head with a stick. Would somebody say amen?
Amen.
But you keep praying. You don't give up on people. I serve a God that's long-suffering.
Amen.
If He wasn't, I wouldn't be standing before you this morning. I serve a God that loves us. Let's get into the message. In chapter 15, or chapter 1, verse 15, the Apostle Paul, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now that word acceptation, I guess you can figure it out, but it means it's worthy to be accepted. Paul said, what I'm about to say, you need to accept it because it's the truth. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus, there He is, came into the world, there's Christmas, to save sinners, that'd be me. And then Paul said, of whom I am chief. I tell you, one of the reasons I love the Apostle Paul, think about this for a moment. He said, if you're talking about sinners, I'm the chief. If you're talking about saints, he said, I'm less than the least. How can you not love a man like that? He did. Said, if you're talking about sinners, I'll put me right up there, Brother Larry, I'm the chief. But if you're talking about saints, find the least and put me underneath them. What a man of God the Apostle Paul was. You think about where the church would be and what we would be missing had it not been for the writings of the Apostle Paul. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you for the privilege to stand here at Bible Way today and deliver the mail. Thank you, God, for delivering the mail. Lord, I wouldn't have any mail if you didn't give it to me. God, I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, what you've given me will be a blessing to these dear people that are gathered here today. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would stir our hearts this month. I'm so glad, Lord, that you came. You were willing to stand up from the right hand of God the Father, come to the earth, take on a body of human flesh, be tempted in all points like as we are, yet be without sin. Go to Calvary, Lord, and give your life, Lord, so that you can have victory over death, hell, and the grave. You rose again the third day. Father, we thank you for the Christmas message. But Lord, we thank you for the Christ of Christmas. We pray, dear Father, that in all the hustle and the bustle, all the activity, that we wouldn't miss him. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This morning, we're going to look at the sea in Christmas and the Christ. That's what I want to talk about. I don't know who came up with the idea, but it sure is representative of most people in the world today. Some people are, I don't know if they're just lazy, but they don't spell Christmas. They put an X and they put M-A-S. That is exactly how a lot of people are going to live this month. Christ will not even enter their minds and their hearts. They're running back and forth from store to store. They're planning this party and this dinner and that dinner. And many of the parties that are held in the name of Christmas are nothing but drunken stupors. I believe with all of my heart that it would do you and I well to make sure that we never X Christ out of Christmas. That he's right in the middle of our homes, right in the middle of our activities. You know, we're going to go out here in the parade and we're going to give out invitations and flyers. Wouldn't it be a blessing if one person come in that Sunday night with that heavy load, Brother Rusty, of sin and left without it, amen? Because they were exposed to the Christmas story, to the Christ of Christmas. As I examine the text this morning, I've never looked at it as a Christmas text, but it is. Paul said Christ, Jesus, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. The disciples were walking with Jesus one day, and there were some people that were not in agreement with Jesus. And the disciples said to Jesus, Wilt thou that we pray fire down from heaven and consume them? And Jesus said something like this. He said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And I want you to know, beloved, that our Lord, he didn't come to condemn, because the world was already condemned, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. Amen. I want to examine this scripture today. I hope you'll stay with me for just a little while. And I want to give you five things concerning Saul at the beginning. And then he meets Christ and his name is changed to Paul. I'm glad he knows our name. The Bible is teaching us some things here that I believe are very important. This come about in my heart largely, Brother Jason, as a result of our visitation on Thursday night. The first thing I want you to think about in the message today is Saul's past. I want you to think about his past. In verse number 13, the Bible said, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Paul had a rough past. Did you know that I'm speaking to people today, and many of you, like your pastor, have had a past that's less than pretty. Some of you maybe have never had a rough past. But let me encourage you to remember something about our past. The Bible said, if we offend in one point of the law, we're guilty of all. So that first lie that we told our mother or our father, that first something that we took that did not belong to us, that first evil thought that went through our mind. You'd be surprised today how many children are exposed to pornography before they even get out of the kindergarten and the first grade. What I'm saying is, as I magnify Paul's past, it doesn't matter who we are. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees in Acts 22 and verse 3. He said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel, beloved, was a rabbi. He was very, very intelligent in Judaism and the teaching of the Jews. He said, I was taught according to the perfect manner of the law of our fathers and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day. That reminds me of where we were last Sunday. Paul said, my brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Beloved, even people that are kind of have a desire for the things of God, sometimes they don't get it right. They think they got to do, and it's in their actions, in their works, when the Scripture said it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. And Paul was a Jew. He was a devout Jew, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He's the one that when Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, honey, He laid into them. He said, you're a bunch of whited sepulchers. On the outside, you look real pretty, but He said, inside, you're full of dead men's bones. He said, you generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He called them, beloved, hypocrites. Jesus, our Lord. He had no sparing words when He addressed the Pharisees. They were people that had the outside right, but they didn't have the inside right. Brother John, I think about Brother Rightly Salen, and there was something that he used to say often. He said, are you whitewashed or are you washed white? Anybody's got any age on them in the building, remember, beloved, listen, you couldn't afford things like stain and things like paint. And you mixed up some whitewash and went out there and put it on the fence, amen, to look make it look better for another year. Brother Rightly asked the question. He said, are you whitewashed? Is it just the outside that looks a little better? Or are you washed white? Have Jesus down in your heart and in your life, amen? Saul's past, he's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was whitewashed. But honey, before I get done, he's going to be washed white. Thank God today. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a Baptist. You better be more than that if you don't go to heaven. You say, Pastor, I'm whitewashed. You better be more than that if you don't go to heaven. Better be washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Paul was a tent maker. I'm looking at his past. In Acts chapter 18 and verse number 3, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation, they were tent makers. So he had something that he knew how to do with his hands. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday by way of text, and he was talking about heat pump work, and He said, I have some gauges and I have a vacuum pump. And I said, brother, that's out of my skill set. Amen. A man knows where he belongs. Amen. There's some things that are in a man's skill set. Paul had a skill set. And it was tent making in that day. Paul, in his past, he believed that Christ and those who followed him were imposters. He believed that with all of his heart. He believed they were imposing on Judaism and that what they were teaching and what they were preaching was wrong. He believed that we ought to stick with the law of Moses. And he did not believe in the grace of the Lord Jesus. Listen to what the Bible said in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 3. He said, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. You say, Pastor, why would you talk about Paul's past? Because every one of us have one. Amen. And some of our past kind of haunts us, amen. But I'm glad, thank God, I serve a God that through the blood of the Lord Jesus can take a past and wash it. Amen. And forgive it. Amen. I'll show you that in a little while. It gets worse than that. Not only was he making havoc of the church and entering into every house and hailing men, and man, they didn't look forward to seeing Saul coming, amen. He was down to business for the Jewish community. He wanted to exterminate. Much like many want to exterminate the Jews today, he wanted to exterminate the Christians in his day. In Acts chapter 22, verse 4 and 5, he said, I persecuted this way unto death. Whoa, buddy. Now he's not just putting them in prison. Some of them are dying for their faith in the Lord Jesus. Let me ask you something today. Do you believe something so strongly that you'd die before you deny it? You say, Pastor, that's not a fair question. But I'm going to tell you something. You better be paying attention to what's going on in the world. We're no better than the early church. There are many people, beloved, you read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Many people, they were boiled in oil, burned at the stake, drawn. They take a horse and tie it to that arm, and a horse and tie it to that arm, a horse and tie it to that foot, a horse and tie it to that foot, and just let the horses go in different directions till somebody was literally pulled in two. You say, Pastor, you're reading about Paul? Well, not yet. I'm still reading about Saul. You see, God made a difference in his life. The Bible said also, the high priest doth bear me witness in all the estate of the elders, from whom I received letters unto the brethren, and went unto Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem to be punished. Saul thought he was doing the right thing. Let me ask you something. Have y'all ever thought you was doing the right thing and found out you wasn't doing the right thing? Amen. He thought he was doing the right thing. He believed he was doing the right thing. It's Stephen's stoning. I'm not going to take the time to read the text. I am. Go with me to Acts chapter number 7 just a moment. You can't improve on the Word of God. So instead of paraphrasing it, I'm going to read it to you. Acts chapter number 7. Stephen preached one message, and boy, was it a barn burner. He laid it out for him. And the Word of God said in Acts chapter 7 and verse number 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, this is speaking of Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. I've only experienced this one time in my life. I tried to tell a lady that was in a nursing home about Jesus, and so help me. She's in a wheelchair, and she took her fingers and plugged her ears and would not listen to one word about Jesus. How sad. The Word of God said here, they stopped their ears. And he said, they cried with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Saul witnesses this in his past. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord, would you get even with them? No, that ain't what he said. He said, Lord, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I'm going to say something right here. Saul had never heard anything like that in Judaism. He had never experienced a spirit like that. Forgive him, Lord. You say, Pastor, where do you think Stephen got that? I think he got it from Calvary. Our Lord hung there and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Stephen bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Saul's past. The second thing I want to expose you to in the message today is Saul's pardon. Look at 1 Timothy, please. Chapter 1 and verse number 13, the second part of the verse. He said, I'll read the whole verse again. Who was before a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. I'll tell you something right now. If you're not going to face God with your sin, if you're saved by the grace of God and you've been born again, it's not because of you, honey. It's because of Him. It's because of His mercy. Watch what the Word of God said here. Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. You can read in Acts chapter 9 about the Damascus Road. I'm not going to take the time to do it there, but Paul in his pride was on his horse, and God in His mercy knocked him off his horse. God in His mercy blinded him for a little while. Jesus, let me read a little bit of this. I tell you, I picked up on something last night that I hadn't thought about. Let me go back to the book of Acts just a minute, in chapter number 9. There's something here that I want to bring out this morning. I didn't know if I would read it or not, but I want to read just a little portion of this right here because I think it's awesome. Look what the Bible said in Acts chapter number 9. Paul is fixing to meet Jesus. The Word of God said here, and verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You say, Pastor, what's the point you're wanting to make? Honey, listen. Listen to me. When you're persecuting the people of God, you're persecuting the Son of God. Jesus had this encounter. He said, why? He didn't say, Brother Larry, why persecutest thou my people? He said, why persecutest thou me? Honey, I'm telling you what, that changed the church of the living God. If we'd realize, beloved, if we speak again one of His youngins, we're speaking against Him. Watch this now. No wonder the Bible said, be better for a man to have a millstone hung around his neck and cast into the bottom of the sea than to offend one of these, my little children. Amen. Watch what he said here. Show it to you again. And he fell to the earth. He heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Verse 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Here he goes again. Whom thou persecutest. You say, I don't know if Jesus loves His church or not. Let me tell you something right here in these verses. This is not a stretch whatsoever, Brother Jason. Jesus and the church are one. You're persecuting the church. You're persecuting the Lord. Watch it now. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Two questions in the text. Who are you, Lord? And what would you have me to do? If you're here today without Christ, I'll tell you who He is. He's the Son of God. I'll tell you who He is. He's the Savior of the world. I'll tell you who He is. Isaiah said He's wonderful. Said He's Counselor. Said He's the Mighty God. Said He's the Everlasting Father. said he's the Prince of Peace. Amen. I tell you who he is. His name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sin. I tell you who he is. He's Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's who he is. Who art thou, Lord? What would you have me to do? I tell you what God would have a lost man to do. You say, Pastor, you can't say this. Oh, yes, I can. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The book of 1 Timothy chapter number 2 said, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? I'm glad I don't have to guess about it. I'll tell you what God would have you to do. He'd have you to swallow your pride, turn loose of the pew, and run to Jesus. Amen. For forgiveness, that's what he would have you to do. Saul's pardon. His pardon was a result of two things. Mercy and grace. Mercy, if I could define it, I would say it like this. It is God withholding from you and I what we deserve. He says, you deserve it, but I'm going to withhold it. Grace is not only, in mercy, God's withholding what we deserve, but grace is God giving you and I what we don't deserve.
Amen. Yep.
I love the song, Brother Dale, I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun, but I don't deserve it. Amen. I don't deserve these friends and brothers and sisters in Christ that are gathered in this room today and that I've met over the years serving the Lord. I don't deserve that. But in God's grace, he saved my soul. He say, boy, I'll tell you what, old Paul changed sides, didn't he? Amen. He got pardoned. God saved him. And now, beloved, you can read in Corinthians, you can read in, he talks about all these, and he names their names, saints of God. He's on a different team now. He's headed in a different direction.
Amen.
That's why he could write, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We see Saul's past. We're looking at Christ in Christmas. You say, Pastor, who can take care of my past? Ain't but one, that's Christ. You say, Pastor, who can provide my pardon? Not but one, and that's Christ. Then we look at, now his name changes. We look at Saul's past and Saul's pardon. But now we look for just a moment at Paul's preaching. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 11 and 12. The Bible said, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. That reminds me of something. My grandpa had a sixth grade education. And I'm telling you, he didn't even know how to read whenever God called him to preach and God helped him to read. My grandmother was reading him the Bible. But my grandfather said something, beloved, we need to get a hold of. He said, if God calls you, he'll qualify you. You know what Paul's saying? He forgave me of my past, amen. He pardoned my sin. And he's saying it's the God of heaven that called me to preach and qualified me, enabled me to preach this glorious gospel. Watch what he said. Which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I'm going to tell you, beloved, Paul's preaching was not one about Paul. It was about Christ. He said, I'm not going to speak to you in words of wisdom, but I'm going to speak to you in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. He said, God forbid that I should know anything among you save Christ and him crucified. In another place, he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of that education I told you about a while ago, if you go into the book of Philippians, he said, I count it all but dung that I might win Christ.
Amen.
He's no longer, beloved, trying to impress anybody. He's just trying to please the Lord. God called him. And get a hold of this. God told him when he called him. He said, you're going to suffer for my name's sake. This old gospel that's being preached on the television and many times the radio, health and wealth and prosperity. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. You might not like what I'm going to say. That's a bunch of garbage out of hell.
Amen.
Some of the godliest people I've ever known in my life. Let me just think just for a moment about Miss Dolores Long. Brother Houston, she suffered ever since I've ever known her. Crippled in arthritis. Those lessons coming in from the prisons by the thousands. And she spent her days grading them and praying for those men. That's Sister Gwen's sister, Sister Dolores Long. You say, Pastor, what'd she do? I tell you what she did. She served God faithfully. Paul's preaching. What a man of God Paul was. A couple more things than I've done this morning. Look at verse 16. Howbeit for this cause, again, he said, I obtained mercy. Well, why did you obtain mercy, Paul? He said that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering. The rest of you and I think that God put up with a lot in our lives. Look at what he put up with in Paul's life when he was Saul. God said Paul said he was long-suffering. And why did he do it now? For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Everybody, when they meet Jesus, whether they're 6 or 60, or older than that, they have a past. They all need a pardon. All of them won't be called to preach, so to speak, in a pulpit. But all of us are called on to share the message of Christmas.
Amen.
And the Christ of the message. And Paul said, my life now, we've looked at Saul's past and Saul's pardon and Paul's preaching, but we need to look at Paul's pattern. God took Paul and made a pattern in his life. Sister Barbara's not here today. They've been sick lately. But the ladies that are helping Miss Barbara, they go over there and they cut out this material to make quilts. And what they've got is a pattern. If you're going to make this kind of quilt, you use this kind of pattern. And you cut it out according to that pattern. Well, you know what? The Apostle Paul, you say, Pastor, he must really think he's something because he said God made a pattern. No, no, no. Let me tell you, if you just study his life, he said, I beseech you therefore, God, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul said, be ye followers of me, but he didn't stop there. He said, even as I also am a follower of Christ. Beloved, the pattern doesn't stop with Paul. The pattern goes to Christ. A man that's willing to follow him. In closing today, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Christ of Christmas. Only one can deal with your past, and that's Christ. Only one can offer you a pardon, and that's Christ. Only one that's worthy of preaching, and that's Christ. Only one is worthy a pattern in our life after, and that is Christ. What I want to talk to you about now for just a minute is Paul's passing. The Bible said in verse number 6 of chapter 4 of the book of 2 Timothy, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Can I tell you something? When the time of your departure, Brother Gary, when it's at hand, there ain't but one thing going to matter. That's Christ.
Amen.
Just one. I don't believe, Brother Jack, anybody's laying there at Wilcox Hall wondering about their house, wondering about their car. They're just trying to survive. And in the end, the only thing that's going to matter is what you do with Christ. If you rejected Him, the old timers used to say it often, you're going to bust hell wide open. But if you receive Him and you've been pardoned, then beloved, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
Watch what he said. He said, I'm ready to be offered. He's talking to Timothy Steele. And the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, he said. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, because of this, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. If I'm reading this correctly, and I believe I am, this man is leaving with no regret. He sold out to God. Oh, he knew what it was to be shipwrecked. He knew what it was to be in perils among false brethren and perils of countrymen. He knew what it was to be stoned and left outside the city for dead. He knew what it was to be caught up into the third heaven and see things that were not lawful to be uttered. This man knew he was not going to suffer anymore.
Amen.
And he knew that there was a reward. He said, Pastor, I don't think that's good to want a reward. I do. I'll tell you something right now. I do. I don't want to stand there empty-handed while everybody else is laying crowns at the foot of the Son of God. I want one, buddy. But I'm not going to wear it like an NBC peacock in heaven and say, look at me. I want to lay it at His feet and say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Saul. Or Paul's passing. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, he makes no mistakes, shall give me at that day. And then he didn't stop there. He said, Timothy, I want to encourage you, son, not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing.
Amen.
The Bible teaches among Christians, there's going to be two ways to stand when Jesus comes. We'll either stand before Him ashamed, or we'll stand before Him with confidence. I don't see any in between. We're either going to stand, that's 1 John, I believe, chapter number 2, or 3, 2, chapter number 2, right before chapter number 3. We're either going to stand before Him with confidence. There He is. I've been living for Him. I've been looking for Him. I've been loving on Him. I've been doing what He wants me to do with my life. Or I didn't have time for Him. I didn't have time for His Word. I didn't have time to tell others. I'm going to tell you, beloved, it's a serious thing. We were kids on the farm. We didn't have those $100 toys. Honestly, I believe we had more fun. Old barn full of rats. I learned at an early age, you can throw that rock at that hornet's nest, but they can fly faster than you can run.
That's right,
amen. At an early age, I learned that. I also learned that later, I didn't know it at the time, me and my brothers, we got out there in our Fruit of the Looms in a thunderstorm. The gutter was tore up on the barn. We took us a shower. It thundering and lightning everywhere. You say, how in the world did you make it, preacher? By the grace of God. Amen. But on the farm, one of our favorite things to do was hide and seek. And you know how that goes. You count to 100. 5, 15, 35, 57, amen, we're getting there, 85, 90, 90, 192, 93, 94, sound like an auctioneer. Brother Dale, you can do that. I can't. Amen. Then what? Ready or not, here I come.
Amen.
Beloved, I don't look for Jesus to say that, but there is a trumpet going to sound. And ready or not, He's coming. Christian, ready or not, He's coming. You'll get to go. The Scripture teaches that some will be saved so as by fire. In other words, they put their faith in Christ, but they never served Him. They were never faithful. Some, like Paul said here in his passing, will have a reward. And some will be left behind on the earth for the great tribulation that's coming upon the earth. One little thing quickly and I'll close. Years ago, there was a series of movies put out called Left Behind.
Yeah, amen.
I appreciate the fact that it caused people to consider the end times. But the movie teaches a dangerous, they teach it in the movie, but it's contrary to God's Word. Now, I don't care who makes the movie or how good their intent is. If it's contrary to God's Word, I'm going with God's Word. And here's what's taught in that movie. If I'm not mistaken, it was the dad and the daughter that kind of just mocked. They had nothing for church, nothing for the Bible. The mom and the son were caught up in the rapture. And what the movie teaches is that that dad and that daughter were saved during the tribulation hour. Honey, you better not believe that. You've heard the gospel today. And beloved, Christ rejecters, there's going to be people, a multitude which no man can number, out of every kindred, nation, people, and tongue, saved in the tribulation. But you read 2 Thessalonians, I believe it's chapter number 2. Those that have rejected Christ in this generation are going to believe a lie. God said He's going to send strong delusion. They're going to believe a lie and be damned. I believe it's dangerous to think, well, if God's people are missing one day, I'll just get right with God. If you won't get right with God while it costs you nothing except your pride, amen, how in the world would you get right with God when if you don't receive that mark, you can't buy, you can't sell. Amen.
Amen.
See, Christmas, Christ. The only way we deal with my past is Christ. The only way to have a pardon is Christ. The only message we have to preach is Christ. We have a pattern in Christ. And when it comes time to pass, my dad, my mom died in 2012. My dad in 2015. If we heard it once, we heard it 100 times. Y'all sure are handling this awful well. Y'all sure are handling this awful well. That's what was said. I told a man in the line, the receiving line, I said, either the Bible's true or it's not. I said, my dad died believing the Bible is true. I said, I believe the Bible is true. I said, therefore, if I was to reach up there and try to pull my dad back down, he'd hit me in the top of the head and say, son, leave me alone. What are you thinking? My dad loved the Lord. My mom loved the Lord. I have a niece that's still unsaved, and yet she will tell that one of her fondest memories is my mother going through the house singing Amazing Grace. I'm glad I've experienced that grace. We're here today as a church on the hill here in Bloomingdale because we want others to experience that same grace. Let's bow for prayer.